welcome to the World Peace Diet Circle. I'm your course facilitator, Steve Prusak. We'd like to welcome everyone to the call. And let's welcome our leader and course instructor and author of the World Peace Diet, Dr. Will Tuttle. Hi, Dr. Tuttle.
Yes. Hi, Steve. Thank you for coordinating everything so well. And I want to welcome everybody to our call. This is the third Thursday of August in 2012. And I think as you probably are aware, if you're on the call, we sent out an email notice that we thought it would be better this month to refrain from having a special sort of outside guest like we usually have. And also just like to get, you know, always like to get your feedback on these things. But it just seemed like we have, you know, quite a few newer people in the circle, and as well as, of course, some people who've been on it for a while. But sometimes it seems that we spend a lot of time, and it's usually fantastic. I mean, it's always wonderful to get the input from the outside guests on their area of expertise vis-a-vis vegan living. But sometimes it seems that we would be nice to, I have this feeling it would just be nice to have just us together on the call and we have a chance to get to know each other a little bit better, ask questions, respond to questions, concerns, successes, joys, frustrations, all the different things that arise when we're vegans in a non-vegan world. And I know all of you who are on this call are, to me, just the real heroes of the movement in the sense that you're working hard to understand these ideas at a deeper level and understand ways of bringing them effectively to the world and to live as deeply as possible and effectively as possible the teachings of compassion and nonviolence and kindness and sustainability and freedom. So I want to welcome everyone to the call. Maybe we can just begin with just taking a brief moment. If you're, obviously, if you're somewhere where it's not good to close your eyes, then don't do that. But if you'll take a moment and just turn within, it's just so nice, I think, too, as we begin the call, just give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have during this time to connect with each other and connect with the force field of truth and love and freedom that I think is represented by the vegan movement, this interconnected yearning and aspiration for a world that reflects kindness and compassion and joy and freedom and beauty. And give thanks for everyone who holds that vision in some way, who is working to bring it into fruition in the outer world as well as to cultivate and develop it in our inner world, that these two worlds are ultimately very much interconnected. And so we give thanks for this beautiful planet, for all the animals that are here celebrating their lives, for all the people who are working on the inner levels and on the outer levels to remove the obstacles to living our lives in wisdom and compassion and to creating new forms and new opportunities for us to understand the significance of our life as a human being on this earth and to free ourselves from the cultural program of eating animal foods and of seeing other living beings as mere commodities to be used and to seeing this earth as a place that can be used. And so we know that humanity is in the process of awakening, that we're part of that awakening, and that the awakening is happening, and that the future is pulling us forward. I love to kind of remember that instead of seeing ourselves as being driven by this past, which we're not really sure actually even what happened in the past, a lot of argument about that, but very often we feel propelled by the past into, instead of that, to realize that we're also pulled by a future and to envision that future in a positive way, I think is very important as well, in spite of a lot of the negativity that's all around us, of course. So bless you all. Thanks for joining us. We have a little bit of precious time together on this call, and I want to say at the very beginning that if you would like to say something, press star 2 on your phone, and Steve and I will be able to see that right here, and we'll be able to unmute your phone, and you can share whatever thoughts you'd like to share with us. Verbally, I guess, would be the way to do it. It's so funny. A couple of days ago, someone sent me the link to this, I guess it's a pretty famous piece by John Cage called 4 Minutes 33 Seconds, where the orchestra comes in and just sits. Everyone, all there in their full regalia, the conductor comes in, he raises his baton, and then there's three movements, and it's utter silence. There's not one note played, and then at the end, everyone claps, and that's the end. So it's this pure potential of music, but no music is actually ever played, and it's kind of the zen of the zen of the pure potential of an orchestra, I guess, is what part of the teaching is. So I know, as we say in Zen, the real teaching is expressed beyond words, and somehow, though, we're using words here to help us to connect with the truths that really very often are actually inexpressible, the deep teachings of the interconnectedness of all life. And I think in many ways, even going vegan, sometimes it's hard to put it into words. It's more of a just a knowing or an understanding. You can certainly have lots of rationalizations for going vegan, lots of great reasons, and of course lots of rationalizations not to, and we probably hear those all the time. But anyway, the point being here that I'd love to hear from you, and feel free to press star 2, and also if you're on your computer, if you'd like to type in something, we can see it here also, and we can respond that way as well. You can type in questions. And so I just encourage you to do that. So as we begin here, our time, I thought maybe we could begin, I don't see any people obviously saying they have a specific question or comment. So this has been a wonderful month, and Madeline and I have been traveling throughout New England, primarily Massachusetts. She's come back from Switzerland and New Hampshire, Connecticut, and New York, and we've been blessed to work with some of you, actually, who are on this call. Nina, I know we've worked wonderfully there. There have been quite a few events, a conference and a lecture in Western Massachusetts, and it's really been great to see the all of the ripples radiating out into the world from these kinds of events. There's lots of connections, articles in newspapers, ministers. We had actually, I think, really is something that Mark Stroud, we'll be hearing a little bit in a few minutes, actually, from Mark, I think. But we were saying this is maybe a historic event where a Unity minister actually gave a quite a rousing and perceptive and, I would say, very articulate message on Sunday morning, a sermon on the perceived benefits of veganism, using actually the World Peace Diet as the main source and template of those ideas, but nevertheless really bringing that message to the congregation in a very direct way. And as far as I know, that has not been done in Unity ever. So this was probably perhaps the first time that actually happened by a Unity minister. I've done it, but I'm not a Unity minister ordained. To have an ordained Unity minister actually bring that message in a powerful way to a Unity church, but just as an example, I think it's wonderful. We also have now a Unity radio. We have a vegan Main Street with Victoria Moran, and the Unity magazine has just published in their magazine a Return to the Roots article about the importance of remembering that Charles and Millard Fillmore were vegetarians and that this is a part of the Unity's heritage. So we're seeing a lot of movement happening just in that, you know, in that one denomination, but I think that's indicative. I just gave a lecture at the Unitarian Church here in Rochester that was very well attended. The sermon on Sunday morning, there were almost 300 people there for that, and the lectures were very well attended also, and so and well received. So I think there's definitely an opening happening in some of the progressive traditions that were, Madeline and I are seeing as we're traveling and just being in touch with things. And I think it's really, you know, people like you who are listening right now who are making this happen. I mean, it's amazing how we, the power that we have if we are able to put on, like Mark Stout has done a lot, and quite a few of you have done as well, put on a study group in a church or in a community and let the momentum begin to build out of that and have people discuss these ideas. So we've been seeing those things happening, and we're going to be heading in a couple of days to Buffalo, New York, and then for the first time actually into some of the cities of Canada. We did one thing actually last year briefly in London, so we'll be giving a lecture in Toronto for the first time ever in a couple of days, and looking forward to that, in Windsor, Ontario as well, as well as London. So there's, I think, really a lot of movement happening in Canada from what I can tell. So it's, again, I think it's a very important time for us to be alive and to be aware of the situation that we're in. The urgency of the situation that we're in, I think, is important to bear in mind as well, the fact that scientists now are discovering that global warming is worse than they ever imagined, in that sense of, you know, I was just reading that they expect within 10 years the Arctic ice to be completely melted in the summer. And I remember as a kid myself growing up, they said it's just that would never happen, and, you know, that would not happen. It was such a thick ice cover. But anyway, the global warming and climate change and the loss of species and the environmental devastation that actually is happening due to animal agriculture is, I think, going to be forcing more and more people to make these connections. And it's, I think they need people like us who are well-grounded in these ideas to help remind people and help people to understand these things. And just one example. There's a lot more. I might go through, I won't go through that. Anyway, I just invite everyone. You have, Steve, I'm sure Steve has put up the resources for August. So feel free to look at those. I may talk about those a little bit later. I thought I might, I just got a word from Steve that they are in your in the membership site, so feel free to look at those. Some links, as always, for the entire month to some videos, some articles, things. They're all sort of hand-chosen by me, I think, that are of interest to us in the World Peace Diet Circle and as facilitators and as just people to see the various both the positive and the negative. There's quite a bit of both positive and negative news here. We seem to see the governmental agencies, on the one hand, saying that we need to move toward a more plant-based diet, and then on the other hand, doing all kinds of things to thwart that from actually happening. And it just can be quite frustrating to be aware of all these things. But I thought it would be great to maybe just talk a little bit with Steve here. You know, sometimes I feel that we don't get to hear enough from Steve, because he's very knowledgeable about veganism, a longtime vegan, hardworking, wonderful ally in the cause. And Steve, I was just wondering if we could maybe just hear a brief little tiny recap, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you. You had a vegan wedding, I think, right since the last call. How did that all go? Did you have a chance to enjoy being a vegan at your wedding, even though I know your family's not at all, but how did that all go?
It went great, Will. Thanks. Yeah, it was, a struggle because there was a lot of resistance from family members and fear about having to come to a wedding and not eat meat. And that's kind of what we deal with, in this society. And
yeah,
it's hard when it's the people we're closest to that we have to deal with that kind of negativity. And especially surrounding a wedding where, the choice of food was kind of overshadowing the intention of, two high school sweethearts reuniting after 20-plus years of not even being in contact and reuniting and getting married, where you know, the menu became more important than the event. So that was kind of hard to overcome, but it did, and our love prevailed, and surprisingly for the people, they loved the food. Our relatives surprisingly
loved
really?
The food
and didn't miss the meat. So we really? Reached the goal of nourishing them with vegan food and proving to them that you can be nourished, feel great, and it tasted amazing.
Wow. That's one of the things, you know, I always like to sort of remind myself anyway, because I tend somehow sometimes not to think in those terms, but because we really think of the reasons to be vegan, the different, you know, for your health, for the environment, for the evolution of our culture, and for the suffering animals and wildlife and starving people and slaughterhouse workers and all these things. But another reason is that vegan food actually on its own can convince anyone, I think, of the benefits of vegan living. I mean, we're now entering an era, I think, where vegan food is going to become the new hot cuisine too. I think it's it's so great to see what people are coming up with now, and eating meat and dairy I think is going to be seen more and more as just not cool. It's kind of ridiculous. Maybe that's part of what you were able to experience is a good vegan food.
Yeah, well, the work is cut out because of that conditioning and, you know, fear that these people grew up with the meat and dairy industry, thinking that they need meat or they're going to die of a protein deficiency, or I don't know what. I don't know what that fear is. That they were talking about one meal here. My dad was scared to not eat meat for one meal. You know, that's... Even though I've been doing it for 18 years, I'm in amazing shape, and I'm the only one in my family without disease or on medication. They seem to not get, well, maybe he's doing something right.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thanks for holding up the vegan flag there in the storm of your family relationships and keeping it up and planting some seeds. I think it's always great, I think, to do that. And keep the answer their questions and keep the spirit alive. And it was great to hear you say that your love prevailed. I think that's ultimately the truth.
Absolutely.
Great. Oh, and also I wanted to just check something too. Or maybe I'll just say something myself. You know, we've been working, Steve and I worked pretty hard together recently in July to put on the Vegan Palooza event. And if you were listening in on that, you would know that Steve had sort of jumped right from that into creating this VegWorld magazine. So I just wanted to kind of remind people about that. It's something that is really, it's kind of an alternative, I think, to, and an addition, but also it's got its own unique perspective, and it's available to anyone who has an iPad. And it's Vegan World Radio. What's the actual website? Is it veganworldradio.com?
Well, there are two good things about it. First of all, this week we were able to get enough sponsorship for the magazine where we're able to fund the magazine to make it cross-platform now. So that means anyone with a computer or an iPhone or an Android or a PC can get the magazine by next week, we're hoping. It's really expensive to get it in all these platforms, but thankfully we've had some generous sponsors that saw what we did with the first issue and are really behind the magazine. For a new magazine, it's only been in the iTunes store a week. It has 11 reviews, all 5-star. It's rated, if you go to the health and wellness section of iTunes, they put it as the number one magazine there, and it was rated the number 5 top downloads. So I was really blown away by that and knew that this magazine has a lot of potential to go a lot further. So we didn't want technology to limit who can see this magazine, not just iPad owners. It's a great platform to read a magazine, and iPhones are kind of hard, but if you have a PC, at least you'll be able to flip through it and check it out. So the website is vegworldmag.com, and you can just sign up to be notified when we release in the other platforms.
Vegworldmag.com. And so if anyone has either a Mac or a PC, they can see it then, as well as iPad, any of those things works?
Yeah, we're going to have it across in Androids and have it across all
Android.
The digital platforms, so that way all bases are covered.
Okay.
We're not going to do it as a... regular magazine, because what makes it unique and unlike Veg News and some of the other publications, Vegetarian Times, is how interactive we made it, where we've got the videos of the recipes and the person making the food, and then you've got the just all the interactivity of it with audios and links to different websites and articles, so you can continue learning more about the different topics we go into. And we're just really taking advantage of that technology. So we're not going to release it on the newsstand, the regular newsstand.
Great.
Anyway.
And then I'm not sure if I'm out of line saying this, but I'll say it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I just know that all of you who are on this call, if you feel that you have within you something that you'd like to share with the rest of the world, either an article or a video or whatever that's vegan related that helps, you know, spread the message in some way, I'm sure, Steve, am I right in saying this, that you'd like them to send it to you and you could maybe publish it and it could be seen by hundreds or thousands or however many people would be downloading it?
Absolutely, Dr. Tuttle. Yes, yes. And Tara Gardner submitted something for the last issue, but I emailed her a couple times for a headshot and bio, which I never got. So, Tara, if you're out there, I'm waiting to get that because I want to get you into the September issue. So definitely email me. You can just reply to any of the emails you're getting from the World Peace Diet Circle or Facilitator Training, and that'll go right to me. And if you've got something you've written, something that you thought would be appropriate, a poem, anything, or a video that you've done out on YouTube, I can even put that in the magazine. And we can link to your website or whatever you're putting out there into the vegan world, and you'll get some recognition, and surely an audience will be sent your way too.
Right. I think it's really a great opportunity. So just encourage you. I think I'm having an article in each of the issues so far, and I think it'd be nice to have other people too, because this is I think something that's just starting. So anyway, we don't want to go on about it, but it's really, I think it's great that this is happening, and I just let everybody know about that.
Thank
Steve.
You.
Otherwise, is there anything else at all you want to mention, or that pretty much bring us up to speed, you think? Or do you have anything else you want to mention?
No, I would just like to see this circle get more interactive. You know, during these calls, a lot of people seem shy and just listening, but I think tonight is a great opportunity to really connect and come together as a community and get to know each other. It seems we don't hear from enough people, and Dr. Tuttle and I would love to hear from you. So if you raise your hand, it's just *2. We'll get you in the queue. Don't be shy. You can just share anything that's on your mind or any questions you might have about the trainings or anything else that we've done throughout the weeks or how we can make this course better. Just, we'd love to hear from you. It's *2. Or if you're in the membership site as a World Peace Diet Circle member, you can type in your question, and we'll get to that during tonight's call.
Right. Yeah, if you have any questions at all, this is a good time. And, of course, you can always ask any questions on the forum as well. I'm going to encourage people to do that. We also have that's a nice thing because it's really just us. It's very private, and you know, it's kind of a very beautifully set up by Steve. So I want to encourage people to use the forums if you would like to. And we also have some Facebook, we have a facilitators closed group as well as the open facilitators World Peace Diet group as well on Facebook. So we have a few different ways that way too. We do have a few people that have pressed *2, Steve, so maybe I'll go ahead and or do you want to maybe unmute somebody? Yeah, we have, okay, Dayton, Ohio area. You're unmuted. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Persephone.
Oh, Persephone, right, from Dayton, of course. Right, how
yes.
are you? Yeah, great.
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah. Yeah, good, good.
I'm not shy, so I thought I'd raise my hand and
right.
talk a little bit about what I'm doing right now, because August
okay.
is Vegan Challenge Month in Dayton.
Wonderful.
And
wow.
so we're about
you're
right
in
the middle
of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We had our best registration so far. This is our fourth year.
Great.
So we have 60-something people registered.
Wonderful.
Taking the vegan challenge. So these are all people who are not already vegan, committing to follow a plant-based diet and to explore veganism for 1 month.
Wow.
So we started on the 1st with our big kickoff dinner. which was, I think, our best yet. And the way we do it is I recruit people who are already vegan to be volunteer staff.
Right.
And so for our first dinner, we tell people they bring nothing, pretty much. And the people who are the vegan support staff make dinner for everybody. And it was our best dinner ever. It was so wonderful. We give away, like we raffle off prizes. We gave away 2 subscriptions to Veg News, a couple of local restaurants who have really been adding a lot more vegan options to their menus, gave some gift certificates. Local vegan bakery, donating, giving away like a free dozen cupcakes, like lots of fun things. And then we get local businesses to give discounts to members to participants all month long. So everybody gets a little participation card, and then, you go to the restaurant that's giving 10% off, and you show your card, and you get your discount. So it's a pretty big deal. And then we have and this year was really cool because I actually had businesses emailing me saying, how do I do this? I want to support this. I want to get involved. So so that was really good. Yeah. And so then we just have a number of events scheduled throughout the month after the kickoff dinner. Last year we had a cocktail party, and it was very, very popular. So this year we did a cocktail party again.
Uh-huh.
On our first weekend, which also gives people the opportunity. We don't make a lot of requirements. It's basically, meat, dairy, and eggs, and all the other stuff that goes into being vegan.
Yeah.
If you think about, I kind of let people know that's the part that's exploring veganism.
Right.
So your commitment is to follow a plant-based diet. But this gave them an opportunity to learn about vegan-friendly alcohols and to kind of open their eyes to, in a fun way, to the fact that a lot of things that you would never even think about have used animal parts in the processing. And so anyway, so we did that, and it was a lot of fun. And, this coming Saturday we have a picnic in the park. So we're just kind of doing this all month long. And this year my church got really involved. You're going to be at my church in September, Will, the Center for Spiritual Living Greater Dayton.
Is that your church?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it sure
terrific.
Is.
Terrific. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just called them today, actually, on the phone to make sure we were getting that all set up. Good. Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm really thrilled to hear about all this, and I just want everyone to think about these. I just think it's such a great model. I've seen it. Madeline and I went to Jacksonville March, I guess, and they were doing a similar thing for the whole month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
A group called Girls Gone Green, and they were doing it. And they had people that it was somewhat similar. And I gave a lecture as part of that. But I think what you're doing, it makes it sound like these 60 people who are trying out veganism, they must feel so loved and supported by having you folks. You're kind of acting as their mentors and coaches,
yeah.
I guess, in a way, to help them along, and if they have questions, and help them design food. So they're actually committed to, for the entire month, to eat no meat, dairy products, or eggs for the entire month, and they have to make their own. They have to basically do that. They have to figure it out. You can help them, but you don't actually. I mean, they have to do it, though, on their own, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And, besides having, the dinner prepared for them at the first dinner, a lot of people who do that bring recipes to share.
Yeah,
We also get, my husband works at Trader Joe's, and so they're really cool about every year they donate about $80 worth of food, our local Trader Joe's, and they just let me shop. And what I do is I just pick out a whole bunch of stuff, and then I set up a table that people can come and look at to just kind of see. And a lot of it's stuff that you're like, oh, yeah, I already eat that, and that's okay. That's vegan food. At the end of my talking part of, the kickoff dinner, I invite people to come up, you know, kind of one group at a time. This time I did it by their astrological sign. I do it different every year. But,
great.
And then everybody gets to pick something off the table.
Right.
But they also kind of get to see what food, you know, they can eat. And we also have, you know, we give out lists of, you know, websites they can go to for help and things like that. And a lot of our support staff, they give out their contact information so people can call them. And then, you know,
right.
just kind of different people grab on. We have one woman in our church who's really, really amazing. I love her so much. You know, she was actually one of my teachers for a class that I took this past spring. And our last dinner for that class, she's like gnawing on a chicken leg. And, you know, and she's like telling me how she doesn't, you know, this thing isn't for her and she has to have all this protein and blah, blah, blah. But by the time it came, you know, we were getting down to the wire for signing up for the vegan challenge. And she was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign up and do it. And,
Great.
She, you know, and I keep checking in with her, and she's, you know, and it's wonderful because Reverend Cece has been vegan for several years and has really been talking to people about this. Yeah, so the two of us have been, you know, the first Sunday that I announced it, it was about 4 weeks ahead of time. I got up, and the great thing was, so I got up in front of the church during announcements, and I said, all right, this is an interactive announcement. I said, how many of you care about your health? Raise your hand. And, well, like everybody raises their hand. How
right.
many of you care about the environment and care about, you know, living a sustainable life? Just about everybody raises their hand. How many of you love animals and think they should be treated well? Everybody raises their hand. And so I'm like, that is so wonderful. So I'm guessing that means that most of you are ready to sign up this year for the vegan challenge. Lots of moans and groans and, you know. But people have really been thinking about it. And, you know, it's been really good because every Sunday after that, Reverend TC got up and talked about it and told people, you know, I promise you it doesn't hurt. I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, so she's
wonderful.
Been kind of helping people in the church. We got a lot of people signed up for it. So it's
wow.
good. This might be my last year doing it.
Oh, really?
If it is, I'm going out with a bang. So.
Do you think it's just time to move on, kind of, or?
Well, for me, it might be because, you know, I'm hoping to start grad school in the next year, and I just don't think, I mean, it's a good, to really make this happen and do it well, I mean, I could do it on a smaller scale, but at this point, like, I think if you're starting one up, you could do it on a smaller scale. It's hard to go back once you've done this, but
yeah.
for me, it's like, for a month solid, it's a full-time job.
Yes.
And I certainly don't make the money of a full-time job off of it. So,
yeah. Right.
So I just don't think, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I love doing it, but I also, it is stressful. You know, I've had, you know, my eye twitching for the last, you know, month and a half, so.
wow.
So, but yeah, it's a really wonderful thing. And I have people tell me all the time, you know, I've had people who have moved away, who took the challenge, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, who've moved away, and they contact me and they say, you know, I hope you know what a difference you've made because my wife and I did this, and now we've told our friends about it, and we have friends who are doing their own little one-month challenges, and, like, all of us are eating, you know, we're eating less animals and we're eating more plants and we're leaning more into this lifestyle that's healthier and more sustainable and more compassionate.
Right.
So,
well,
it's
great. It just sounds like a, you know, such a wonderful thing. And I would hope, I guess, that it's so wonderful, you know, to do this kind of a thing. It sounds like you're doing it as just a gift to these people, to the community. And I know you're getting some help from other volunteers. I would like to see if there might be a way to do it so that you get reimbursed for all your efforts so you can actually keep doing it, or you can have someone else take it over while you go to grad school and they can get reimbursed. Cause I think that's important to be able to.
Yeah, and I do get reimbursed a little bit. The first
right,
three years
not,
I asked, yeah. the first 3 years I asked for a $10 registration fee, and then I had a friend, sometime during the last year, a friend of mine just sent me a link to something that a woman was doing that was kind of like almost like one-on-one month-long vegan challenges, but she was making a boatload of money, and my friend just sent me the link and said, you should charge more.
Right.
So this year I raised the registration fee to $15, and I had always been, like, I didn't make a big deal out of it, and I kind of didn't even advertise it. Like, if people paid attention and they paid me, I was okay with that. This year, I collected from a lot more people. Like, a lot more people realized that I was clearer about there is this registration fee. Of course, a lot of that goes into, you know, the promotional materials and I got gifts for all of my support staff and,
right.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, the money goes quickly.
I was able to, you know, after the vegan challenge dinner, I was able to stick, you know, my rent in an envelope and hand it to my, you know, the woman we rent from. So I paid my rent for a month. So that's beautiful.
Yes.
So,
if anyone has any, if any of you who are listening have any thoughts for Persephone about this, I personally just want to applaud you. I think it sounds like a wonderful thing, and I'm sure the financial remuneration will come. That's one of my feelings, is that when we do something to bless the world that way and we just put it out, sometimes we, you know, the money will come. It's not really about the money, but sometimes it comes in other ways, through friendships or just through a sense of satisfaction. And
sure.
But you're planting seeds that,
yeah.
You know, I think all of us, as we do what we feel is right, we're not living in a universe. To me, we're living in a universe that's going to respond to that in a positive way.
With
love, put out love, and love comes back, and whatever you're going to need will be provided.
Ultimately.
Yeah. So I think it's good to be somewhat savvy, you know, to maybe charge a little more or whatever. If you're providing something that's so beneficial, but I also understand the dynamic. People feel like maybe they're getting a lot, and they're really getting a lot of training and help and support, and they're doing something. Going vegan is almost like people feel like, well, that's something people should pay me to do because I'm not going to be there. Get them beyond that narrow self-centeredness. But anyway, thanks so much for sharing this. It's just wonderful to hear it. This is the month, August in Dayton. Everybody, if you have a chance, fly to Dayton and be vegan along with Persephone and everybody, and see the events. Do you have a web page that people can go to and see the events?
Yeah, we sure do. The website is theveganchallenge.webs.com, webs plural, WEBS. And then, so there's, you know, a page that explains what the vegan challenge is. We have links to all of the businesses that are sponsoring us. And then there's a calendar page with all of the events that are scheduled for the month.
Great. Wow. Well, thanks for calling us. It's wonderful to hear about this, and make sure you get some rest in the middle of all this. No, that's important. All right. So let's see. We have several hands up. Go ahead. You've been unmuted. It says it's an anonymous call, so that might mean, so we don't really know much more than that. Can you go ahead and talk if you press star 2? Let's see. Hello? Yes, there you are. Good.
Hi.
Yep, we can hear you. Hi.
Hi, Will. Hi, Sip. This is Veronica.
Oh, hi. Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Yeah. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations to Steve, by the way. Very happy news. And congratulations also on the new magazine. And actually, I kind of wanted to do some commentaries on a couple of things here, which really has bothered me. First of all, I know you're following what's going on your World Peace Diet Facebook page, and you're aware of all the comments that I post. Okay. So, as you know, I'm sorry, I'm switching my phone here. Sorry. I am kind of upset right now, to be honest, because there's been a lot going on in terms of, well, big animal, so-called animal rights organizations co-opting really the movement for their own purpose, I guess. And there is a lot going on with just principally, you know, people like HSUS. And are you aware of what happened at the 2012 Animal Rights Conference?
Well, I think I'm somewhat aware of it because of just reading some of the articles, and think probably a lot of the people on the call are probably varying degrees of being aware of the whole thing. And I think it is important to be aware of one of the challenges that our movement faces of being, as James Levesque put it, I think he's pretty right. You know, there's a certain effort being made by the industries to try to weaken the animal rights movement or the animal liberation movement to divide people up and to get people sort of fighting with each other and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
They are trying to redefine the word veganism and literally steal the meaning of the word veganism, in my opinion, because they are, I mean, I agree with some of those people who were there who got censored at the animal rights conference because they were going to be critical of what some of those groups are doing. I'm not going to name them there, but some of us, I'm sure, know who they are. But there is a very dark, pernicious thing that is happening, and there is a censorship that is done to people who want to voice their concerns about the alliances between so-called animal rights group and, you know, pig producers. I mean, HSUS has now a pig producer on its board, and this is somebody who kills thousands of pigs a year, who's now like an advisor on the board of HSUS, which I think is immoral, personally.
Right.
And I heard also, and I think it's Bob Linden who said this on his radio show, but I heard that they were testing on horses. They were, I'm trying to remember what it was, but they used horses for some tests, and this was approved by the Humane Society. Now, the other thing that really bothers me is that, and you were mentioning the new magazine, my next question really is, I think this is going to be good, that this is going to, you know, be different, very different from Veg News, because Veg News, the more I see it, the more I think is a cheerleader for HSUS. They, I posted that earlier on your page, but Wayne Passley, the CEO of HSUS, is one of the people who supposedly changed the movement, and I think he has no right to be on that list. I was very, very happy, however, to see your book on the top 10 list of books that changed veganism.
That made
me very happy. But there's a lot of cheerleading for HSUS through Veg News, and this is not the first thing they're doing that I think is very questionable. I mean, you remember very well what happened with Supreme Master Qinghai, for instance, and I'm glad you stood up for her. Because they really did a very negative article about her, and that was absolutely biased, and there was no real research, I think, done, and it was absolutely not objective at all.
Right.
So this is one of those things that Veg News is becoming more and more commercial and less animal rights or what I would call abolitionist oriented. And they're quoting people on their pages from, like, John McKay of CEO of Whole Foods. They're quoting people who I would never call vegans, because they are not. Those are people who are condoning the abuse of sentient beings through their businesses. I'm really, really upset. I've been reading a lot of very upsetting things. And not only that, but we also have now laws being passed to stop activists from doing undercover videos. There are laws being passed not just here in America, but also in other countries, where they are literally go and arrest activists in front of stores, just, you know, leafleting in front of stores. It just happened in Spain a month ago. They arrested, I think, six or seven people for just being in front of a store and leafleting. And it has happened here with the famous Shack 7 case. And those were not even people who were rescuing and liberating animals from labs. Or internet. They were just, you know, promoting abolitionism on their website. So this is really getting scary, in my opinion, because we see more and more censorship being done of people who really want to abolish the exploitation of animals in favor of people who are for so-called human needs. And those people who did this alternate conference at the Animal Rights Conference, I think it included people like Karen Davis of United Poultry Conference, and they had people like Harold Brown, which you had on Vegan Palooza, was an amazing, as we know, an amazing speaker in for the animals. And people couldn't find a room. People couldn't find where the conference was because they were being told by the AR 2012 that it was canceled or that they had no access or they were being lied to. And, I mean, if people go to, I think it's on tribeofhearts.net, I can't remember where I found the page, and the speech from Jamie Cohen that she did at the AR 2012, they tried to censor her, but she actually went ahead and said what she had on her mind, and that's what I put on your page, is that particular speech, which I think was absolutely relevant and well said and important to hear. So I hope, I mean, for me, I'm very hoping, very happy that there is a new magazine coming out, and I'm hoping this is going to be different from Veg News, and it's going to be a real animal rights activist magazine, and not just commercialism and recipes and talking heads that in the so-called animal rights movement who are actually promoting human needs. So I'm really hopeful that this is not going to be the case.
Yeah, and you know, this would be a great magazine for you to write an article for, you know, because you're really quite a good writer. I've seen your blog.
Oh, my God.
And I think,
you know, when you said that, I was thinking, oh, I so have to do something like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking exactly that.
This would be a golden opportunity, and we could also perhaps publish the speech by Jamie Cohen, too, because I thought that was really good. Yeah, these are all Harold Brown. You know, we've had Harold Brown actually speak on this on our World Peace Diet Circle, and I know they wouldn't let him speak. So there's quite a lot of interesting stuff happening, and I think in a way it's good news. I mean, in the sense that when the animal rights movement was smaller and veganism was smaller, then, you know, the industry didn't care and they didn't really try. And so now it's obvious that we're seen as a threat. And so they're just working, trying to, you know, do what they can to put up barriers and to try to dilute things and to try to harm the movement, obviously. But I think it's wonderful what you're saying in the sense of, you know, it's very important to be aware of these things. And to be savvy about them, and then I think what the beauty of the movement though is that it's really a grassroots movement, and we can, like for the World Peace Diet work that we're doing, just reach people and just keep working on this level of reaching people at a grassroots level, putting on local teachings and events and writing and doing things on the internet and. I just think it's all the more reason for us to work even more creatively and persistently. And I have a good feeling, actually, that what they're trying to do is not ultimately going to work. It's been tried before. They tried to do it in the same industry. The pro-slavery, you know, tried to do it, and for a while it seemed to work. But for us to really end the slavery on this planet, we have to actually stop the enslavement of animals, as Mark Starr always says, and I agree. So
we have to be very careful on how we use the word vegan. Very careful because it's being
corrupted
and watered down. And you know, yes, Bill Clinton went on a plant-based diet, but is he an actual vegan? You know, how do you define a vegan? And I don't think it's just being just because you're eating broccoli that makes you a vegan. There's a lot more to being a vegan than just being a plant-based diet. And great, I'm glad he's doing it, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm very happy because he's got big influence. But it's not enough. It's you can't just go around and call people vegans where they might not even espouse the principle and they're just doing it for health reasons. That is totally contrary to what Donald Watson intended when he created the word vegan and the vegan society. For me, I'm very shocked at this co-opting and this corporatization of animal rights organizations. And I'm not saying they're not doing good work. I mean, HSUS has, you know, does great rescues and they do a lot of undercover work. And I love that they're doing that. And I love that PETA does that. But what they do when they bring in people from the industry and agree to set up new so-called standards for the animals on how they're supposed to be killed, it's immoral. And when Cecily and others run those organizations calling themselves vegans, I'm sorry, they're not. They might eat plants, but their actions are the opposite of what they're supposed to do. And this, very disturbing. I find it very disturbing, personally.
Right. Yeah, this is going to be something that we're going to be facing. I mean, it's more and more, but I think the more we can build the grassroots movement, and the more easily we'll be able to overcome these things. Because that's the greatest power we have, is to build the grassroots movement. So, but I appreciate your. We've got quite a few people with their hands up here waiting. So I think if it's all right, we're going to go to another. But thanks for your important comments, and looking forward to seeing an article in the magazine, the Veg World magazine. I think that would be great, too. And I'd like to I'm doing some more writing on this myself as well. I think it's very important to do. So thanks for bringing that up. It's very important. I appreciate it. Rebecca, you're with us from Ann Arbor. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm driving, and I hope it doesn't sound too bad to you.
Actually, it's good. No problem.
I had a couple of things quickly. You're going to be here in 3 weeks. I'm so excited. You were on the front page of our little local newspaper today. They were announcing your talk. So
really? Wow.
That's
good for
you. My the librarian put out a press release. So she's definitely and it's funny because I don't think I know she's not a vegan, and I think she's sort of leaning towards being a vegetarian, but I don't even think she's there yet. But she's so supportive of me and the attempts that I've made in my community, and I think she'll just be a great person for us to work with. So I'm so excited about that. I wanted to say congratulations to Steve, and I was laughing when he was describing his wedding dinner because I just can't get over the fact that people can't live for one meal without eating animals. It's just incredible.
You're gonna die of a protein deficiency in one meal.
Oh my God! I don't know what they're gonna die of, but they think that I don't know. It's so funny, but I've been following a lot what the last caller called about, and I always torture myself by going on the different comment sections of the Huffington Post or any article that's about veganism, and then I read about all the comments from people who say horrible, terrible things. And I torture myself, and sometimes I get real depressed, and I think I should stay off Facebook, I should stay off the Huffington Post, I should just stay off all the media and just relax and live. But then I feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing, you know, and I should be aware of what's going on. So I go back and forth. But my question for you is, you just always seem so calm to me, and I just wonder how you maintain your equanimity. And you've been doing this so long.
You know, I'm actually today I decided to write an article It's going to be hopefully tomorrow or the next day if I'll have it finished, and I'll put it up on One Green Planet, and I'll let people know about it. But it's the tentative title for my article, which is really pretty much answering your or addressing your question. The title is The Importance of Positive Moods. And what I'm basically writing about is the fact, it's kind of somewhat complex, but briefly, the fact is that all of us are born into a culture that forces us as little children to not only witness adults eating the flesh and secretions of tortured and enslaved animals, but to actually do it ourselves. We have to do it also. And that this, at a deep level, represses our natural compassion and wisdom and our natural self-confidence and our natural positive mood, the natural sense we have as human beings of being part of a beautiful, celebratory, joyful manifestation of love, which is what I believe this earth is, and that we're born into a culture of violence and competition and lack and domination and elitism and that it really gets its claws into us at a very deep level by forcing us as kids to eat the flesh of these tortured animals. And so basically people, all of us growing up in this culture, don't really know what positive moods really are. We haven't experienced them. We've experienced a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety and a sense of foreboding and competition and not getting, you know, to get enough perhaps and being judged and criticized and doing the same thing to others. You know, this is, and it's not only the food. I mean, I would also say that just the way children are born in hospitals, the way the violence in the birthing process, the way they're taken away from their mothers, slapped with injections of all kinds, their immune systems assaulted. It's a real traumatic birth, typically, without very often ever getting the breast, just getting these artificial toxic chemical-type drinks instead of real mother's milk, going into an educational system that's based on authoritarianism and judgment and being, you have to be right or you're going to be, you're going to be left behind, basically. So all of this, but I think the food is the primary one. And so I really think that our job today is to, number one, bring our behavior into alignment with the world we want to create and the life we want to live ourselves, which means to go vegan, which means to everything about that, to as much as we can live our lives as manifestations of love and compassion, but also to consciously cultivate a positive mood, a mood of joy and gratitude. I think these are two really important things. Gratitude, there's lots to be grateful for. I mean, just another day, the opportunities that we have to breathe and express and share and learn and grow and be part of a positive movement and the gift of the beauty that we see in the birds and the trees and the earth and the sun and the stars and the sky and all of these things and to practice loving gestures to other people. I think the revolution is going to be a revolution of love and benevolence and kindness. And that as people who are living our values and living as vegans, we really, I think, at a certain level have an obligation to do whatever it takes to learn to do meditation practices, chanting, yoga, practices, creativity. You know, Madeline paints, does art, you know, get into nature, take walks, take swims. Whatever it is that brings your spirit a sense of joy and happiness, and because we're confronted with a barrage of negativity, and as vegans, it's sometimes even worse. You know, we're the only ones that actually are willing to look at a lot of these terrible videos of what animals actually go through. So we're often,
yeah, exactly.
Carrying even more sense of despair because we're aware nobody seems to care, you know, which makes it even harder a lot of times. But I think in spite of that or as part of that, it's important for us to actually make an effort to cultivate positive moods, because when we do that, that's liberation. You know, what the system wants is for us to have a negative mood, for us to be unhappy, sick, diseased, crazy, consumerist, cynical. You know, that's how they make huge money and they enslave everybody. People who are happy and confident and trust themselves and love their lives cannot be enslaved and are indomitable and will transform the planet. And so I think it's important for us to understand the importance of cultivating a positive mood and sharing that with each other in the movement. You know, that's why I think it's important in the movement to cultivate that as much as we can. You know,
I try to do that, too, when I make comments on those articles or whatever. I try. I don't always succeed, but I do try.
Right, I know. I know what you mean. Right. Sometimes it's hard.
I think it's important
to remember that a lot of these commenters are on these articles are paid by the industries
to
make comments. They're not actual people.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm
positive. Really sure about that?
Yeah. It's called astroturfing. And the
industry, the
pharmaceutical industry and the meat and dairy industries, they pay people out. Like, they'll pay housewives, people at home. They'll adopt 50, 60, 70 identities on Facebook and Google and all these other things, and they will just pay them. They'll just go through the Internet, you know, all the discussions, articles that come out supporting the kind of things we're in favor of, and to just write negative comments. And so don't take it too seriously.
That's funny because some of us were accused of being paid shills on one page last week.
It's probably, yeah, right, exactly.
And
these are people that I know
through Facebook, and I know that they weren't paid shills. So
yeah,
it was pretty funny.
Exactly.
But in fact, one guy on the other side was so emphatic and so crazy that I said, "You've got to be a vegan plant here because nobody else could make the meat eaters look so crazy."
That is going on.
And I did want to tell you one little inroad that I made in my town after listening to some of the Vegan Palooza stuff. You were talking about what we could do in the future, and I don't know if I said this last month. I don't think I did, but I thought, well, maybe I could be a vegan coach. You know, I haven't been at it this very long, but I know some stuff, and I've studied a lot of it. And so I thought that one night, and the next morning I was talking to one of my clients, and we were talking about a chicken broil event that goes on here every year, where they massacre like 6,000 chickens and call it a great thing. And anyway, I said I wasn't going, and we got into why. And she said, you know, I've been really interested in finding more out about being a vegan. Could you help me with that? I'd pay you.
Wow.
So I thought, well, that was pretty cool. Like the next day after I had that thought.
Yeah, no coincidences. I think that's beautiful. Right. Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, we have information and understanding and experience and enthusiasm to help people make really incredibly positive changes that could probably save them tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills, plus untold, so much more happiness. And I think it's worth something. I think it's great to be a vegan coach and help people. You know, well, it's a wonderful thing to do. I think. Yeah.
I guess I answered my own question, but I don't know. I do get depressed, so I'm looking forward to seeing you and see what happens in my community.
Yeah, it's important for us to have support groups, communities. I think it's very helpful to have a spiritual practice that you can rely on regularly to quiet, at least for me, to quiet my mind and connect with that which is beyond just this temporal world, which there's more to life than that. And I think when we can get connected with that, it gives us more sense of inner peace, which is a whole different thing. Because what I think is what we're taught in our culture is to have comfort. Somehow, if we have comfort, that's what we want. And comfort is not at all. It's the opposite in many ways of authentic inner peace, which is an attainment of an inner understanding. So it's inner work. You know, inner work is part of the whole thing, and I think it's very important part of the whole thing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So that's a great question. Thanks for your wonderful question, Rebecca. I'm looking forward to seeing you, too. Thanks for that great question. Great. Okay, so we have Karen Renaud. You're unmuted.
Hi, Will. I'm calling from Michigan.
Yay. Yes, looking forward to seeing you also, actually.
Yes. Thanks for deciding to have this time just for us. It's great to hear everyone, to hear what's happening with Persephone. Congrats to her for all she's doing.
Right.
And all the information everybody's giving, it challenges us to keep doing what we're doing.
Right, exactly. Did you want to say anything at all about the event we're doing at your house or your place in... or not.
Yes, I did. I just wanted to mention that my husband Jim and I are looking forward to hosting Will and Madeline here in Michigan's Thumb on Friday, August 31st, and I'd like to invite all on this call to attend if possible. The plan is just for a day of discussion, good food, and community. There's some free lodging available. If you think you can attend, why don't you contact me? I'll give you my email address in a minute, but my email address has recently been posted on the forum, and my phone number is posted on the World Peace Diet website calendar for August 31st. So,
oh, good.
So my email address is oxfrenaud@aol.com. And again, you can find that on the forum and my number on the calendar at your World Peace Diet website. And we look forward to hopefully seeing some of you here, and definitely look forward to seeing you and Madeline.
Wow. Thank you so much, Karen, for coming on and reminding us about that. And I really encourage everyone. One way you can find out is just if you just go to worldpeacediet.org or willpower.com and just click on the tour schedule. That's where you can always see where we are at any given and where we're going and where we've been. And, on August 31st, you can see that her phone number's there, her email address. Also, she just gave OXF, as in Frank, R-E-N-A-U-D, email.com. And also... on the forums as well, and Karen has. We've worked together with Karen a couple of times, I think, to put on events, and they've always gone really well. So I think this will be. I'm sure this will be a wonderful event. Karen and Jim are just fantastic resources and really do great work. So I hope you can join us up there. Anyone who maybe is in the area, or if you know someone in the area, that would be. Able to be there. It'll be an all-day World Peace Diet event. So thanks so much, Karen, and give our love to Jim, please.
Everybody on the...
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and we'll be just coming off of our Canadian trip at that point. We do also have our great friend Mark Stroud on the call, and Mark... it's great to have you with us, and I was just wondering if you could maybe tell us a little bit of the news that last month we talked quite a bit about various things, the Becoming the Peace Project, the World Peace Diet Jubilee, coming up in October in Cincinnati, and seems to be a lot happening in Ohio, boy, and then the also the possibility of the mini-grants and so forth. So, do you have any news or any word or anything you want to share with us?
Sure. It's great to be here, Will. And, it's been a real inspiring call. And you always say that Cincinnati in this region is a hotbed of veganism. So, listening to Persephone earlier in the Vegan Challenge is a real testament to that being true.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and hats off to Steve and his wedding. And it's great to hear that story. I've been catering vegan weddings now for over 30 years, and come up against that situation, and just the, you know, the couple being so worried and upset, and that the food becomes the main source of conversation rather than their joyous day. Yet I've seen time and time again where without any fanfare, the weddings go smoothly. Everyone and all the guests come. They enjoy the food. They go home. Half of them don't even realize it was vegan because there's no big banners or neon signs proclaiming it to be vegan. And it always comes off beautifully. We've never had a wedding, and we've had dozens of them, that ever turned into any kind of drama or anything like that. It's always been a very joyous event. So I'm glad Steve's came up. Worked out that way, and possibly some people were educated in the process.
Right. So any of you, if you know, if you're getting married, if you know anyone getting married, contact Mark Stroud for having your catering need for great vegan food, and they won't even know. They'll just circumvent the whole problem.
Nothing else. I can hold your hand and assure you that you'll have a great wedding. So.
Right.
The Becoming the Peace Project is coming along. The mini grant project is coming along. As a matter of fact, we had a meeting about that today, and the link to the application for that process through the World Peace Earth Foundation, partnering with other organizations, will be up on our website this coming week. So people who are interested in that, making that application for a $1,000 grant for a project that will make a difference in the world. The criteria for the grant will be in the application. So rather than get into any more of the application process, that'll all be self-evident. And, of course, if there are any questions, there'll be an email address to ask questions and possibly a telephone number. And I know you're going to send that information out as well so that people will be well-informed that would like to participate in that grant. There will be 365 grants given throughout the year, and it's going to kick off at the Jubilee. So the first grant recipients will be announced at the Jubilee, and we'll have a ceremony there at the Jubilee for that. So we're real enthusiastic about it. It's just a you know, it's the perfect kind of thing that what Persephone was talking about, where she has a great project and it requires some funding, and it's obviously significantly making a difference in the world. So these are the kind of things that that we'll be looking for in the decision making process and deciding who the recipients are.
Right. Okay. Well, that's great. That's really wonderful to hear, and like we said last time, as soon as I get the actual URL, I'll send out an email too, and you can keep checking in. I know there's some folks on the call are interested in such an application, and I think it's fantastic that it's available, and we're really grateful for this opportunity too. It's so great. It's just another manifestation of the generosity, really, I think, of the people in the vegan movement, who the commitment that people have to make a better world. And do you want to say anything at all, anything else, anything about the Jubilee, anything else about anything? Or?
Well, in addition to the grant announcements at the Jubilee, we're also having the inaugural Becoming the Peace seminar, which is basically a spiritual, personal growth, self-empowerment all-day seminar based on the teachings in your book, The World Peace Diet, so that people go away feeling empowered. It was interesting because this came up just in the conversation you were having before, because it's partly the purpose of the Jubilee, which is to have a festival that addresses veganism. So it's a vegan festival, a spiritual yoga festival, environmental and music festival rolled into one, with spirituality as its centerpiece, because so many of the other festivals, conferences, yoga festivals, there was an article the other day about how yoga conferences are basically just kind of meat lockers, because there's, even though there's so much spirituality there and the practice of yoga, the food being served is violent and just murdered, exploited animals. And so we really see this as an alternative so that people can see the difference and realize that there are choices out there, including music. We always choose musicians that are of a spiritual nature, that understand veganism and shift on what is going on in the environment. And this year, Willie Nelson's son, Lucas Nelson, and Promise of the Rio are coming. Alicia Witt is coming, a great film star who's worked with Al Pacino and Tom Cruise. So all of them are going to be at the Jubilee and participating in some way throughout the weekend. But that focal point on Saturday of the Becoming the Peace is a great opportunity for this seminar, which will then be traveling around the country, but to be at this first one and to know that, that the next level would be becoming the peacemaker. So they would become more of an activist. And that kind of dovetails with the grant making, because I know that we've seen in the World Peace Diet Facilitator Training that people become very, very inspired. And as they become more in touch with their intuition, they just have these great ideas of how to make a difference in the world. And there's no question that it's time for people to be more earnest in their endeavors to change what's going on in the world. It's just, things are just getting worse and worse, and not to mention the deaths of so many of our fellow beings that are being murdered on a daily basis. It's just really time to stop it once and for all. And it's such a simple step that one might take, which is to get on the path of practicing veganism and really understanding the depths of the spirituality. And that's really what the Becoming the Peace is about. And once again, it also addresses another thing that came up in that discussion earlier with Persephone, that this program is to prepare, once one goes through the Becoming the Peace part of the program, that they then might go on to becoming a peacemaker, where they're trained to be a facilitator and participate in these programs around the country and eventually around the world, where they'll actually be a paid facilitator so they can make a right livelihood as a facilitator, sharing this with other people once again make a significant difference on the planet.
Yeah. What a beautiful thing. That's really great. You know, the whole idea is to just keep following our passion here and just keep going. And like you say, it's really urgent that we do this, especially now. I think the stakes are pretty high. So I want to thank you so much, Mark. And I know you worked tirelessly there in Cincinnati with Anna and the other people, and Persephone and Dayton and everyone. I know Veronique in L.A. and Steve and everyone who's on the call where you are. Your efforts all make it easier for all of us, and we're all in this together. So any last words, Mark, before we begin to wrap it up here? I think it is getting kind of late on the East Coast.
It's about
10:20. So what do you think? Anything else, or?
Well, just mention one last thing, besides just being so thankful that everyone is so active and involved and engaged in here, that for the next 2 weeks to the end of the month, we all are offering at the Jubilee, because really it's important to make this accessible to everyone, to come and to appreciate the speakers, and go to worldpeaceyoga.com and see the extraordinary speakers there, to be able to sit down and eat with them and to really get to know their experience. And to make that happen, for the next 2 weeks, we're offering what's called the Freedom Pass. And with the Freedom Pass, if you bring somebody to the Jubilee, even if you haven't been there before or have been there before, but if you encourage somebody else to come and bring them as a friend to the Jubilee, then that person gets a complete free registration equal to your registration. So it's a free pass, to Freedom Pass to the Jubilee.
Wow, so it's kind of like we have in the World Peace Diet facilitator training, we have a study buddy. So if you pay for yourself, you can bring someone else in for free, you know, to do the whole thing. And it's a similar idea. If you pay, then you can, and someone else, you can bring someone else for free. And if you want to split it with them or however you want to do it, but that's, I think, amazingly generous. And it's Red Peace Yoga Jubilee is a great event. We have some of the people we've talked about, like Carol Brown, will be speaking there, and of course Madeline and I will be there, and Nathan Runkel, and a whole lot of other wonderful people.
John Pierre.
John Pierre, we've had him on our show recently, a couple of months ago too. He's wonderful.
Yeah, we're John Pierre is Ellen DeGeneres' personal trainer, and you know,
right.
We're training. Maybe Ellen will drop in and join John for a day.
Who is that?
So maybe Ellen DeGeneres will drop in and join John for a day.
Right. Wouldn't that be a surprise?
Yeah. she's a great vegan activist.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Great. All right. Well, everyone, that's something. So that's just to the end of this month. You can find out, I guess, about that on the World Peace Yoga Jubilee website. And, well, thank you so much, Mark. It's great. Always great to hear the news that you have for us. And I want to thank everyone who has been on the call tonight and all of you who have shared. It's getting kind of late, so I don't know if we have time for any more sharing. I'm just curious, though, what you think of this. Because we've been having an outside, so-called outside expert on every single month. We've had somebody pretty much every month for this over a year now. And we were scheduled to have Sassy Knutson, who is a vegan coach. She's got vegancoach.com. She's a really wonderful person. Tonight, but I asked her if she could go maybe next month. So, but I'd love to hear feedback from all of you, however you'd like to do it, if you want to send an email or on the forums or whatever works. If you like this idea of having time just us, I mean, I think it definitely has advantages, and it was really great to hear in depth from all of you, and to have a chance to share this way. So if there aren't any other urgent questions or comments, I think since we've been on here for just about an hour and a half, it's time to begin to wrap it up. So, all right, I want to give a big thank you to Steve and to his wonderful new wife. They've rejoined together, which I think is such a romantic story, too. It's kind of like Madeline and me. I just met her in this little town in Switzerland, and Steve met, they were childhood sweethearts, and they're back together again. I think it's so great. And so it's just one of those things to remember that, like I think like Gandhi said, in the end, the good, the right, the pure, the loving, kind, compassionate will always triumph. It's absolutely inevitable. And so our job is to not be opportunists, as sometimes they're called, opportunists in the sense of forsaking our values for some kind of expediency and doing what maybe isn't really in the best interest of the larger whole, but to do the best we can to trust our inner ethics and our intuition to lead us to live our lives as manifestations of loving kindness, compassion, and integrity. And I think as we do that, we will find that we support others in doing the same thing, and we can create a stronger and stronger community that won't be stopped. I think this movement will not be stopped, and it's continuing to grow. So again, a big thank you to all of you for all of the efforts that you're making on the outer level, on the inner level, and I'm looking forward to our paths crossing again on the outer world, and again on our call next month. Next month is going to be September 20th, And let me know if you have any strong feelings about having Sassy with us, or if you'd like to have another one like this one, or whatever your thoughts are. This is really, you know, our circle. And I just want to encourage everyone to participate in the forums and however else, if you have questions for me or any technical questions, of course, for Steve, to don't hesitate. And we'll keep you posted as best we can with all the information that we know about the various possibilities and programs and so forth. And if you'd like me to come to your area to do something, Madeline and I are in our 17th year living in our rolling home, and we're happy to do that. So I guess that's it for now. May all of you continue to unfold your highest wisdom, joy, and freedom to the benefit of all beings. Thanks so much for the love that you've been living and expressing. And Madeline and I send you all our love, and I know Steve does as well. And we look forward to connecting again next month. Thanks again for joining us.